If you look around today, many people are struggling. Someone somewhere is worried and anxious about a prodigal child, a child who has lost their way. Someone else in this world has just received terrible news. Now life will never be the same again for them. So let me ask you, who do you depend on when life gets tough? Who do you depend on when you see nothing but trouble and chaos around you? Who do you depend on when you have no strength? Who is it that you depend on when you are faced with circumstances that you can do nothing about? Well, today, people of God, I want to encourage you to depend on God. Depend on a God who has given us wonderful promises in the Bible. Promises that should lift us up when life tries to push us down. Promises that should bring peace to our hearts even if our external environment is tumultuous. God's promises are what you and I should depend on because God is a faithful God. He's a God who keeps His word because He is truth. Now, I pray that this message will serve as a reminder to each and every believer listening. I want you to know that when you begin to trust in God's promises, you'll realize that you are well taken care of. You will lack for nothing. And for those who may be wondering, what are these promises? Allow me to remind you what the Bible says. In Isaiah 41, verse 13, the Bible says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." This is a promise for those seasons in life when you feel as though you can't get a break. It's a promise that God Almighty will help you. The Lord will come to your aid. He will be your support. He will be your pillar of strength.
When the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God," it's really telling you to stop everything you're doing. Stop worrying. Stop fighting. Stop resisting and start yielding to God. Start listening to God. There is something about stillness. And I believe that this verse is calling us to be still before the Lord because we need to direct all of our attention, all of our focus on the Lord. You see, when you spend time getting to know the Lord, when you spend time in the presence of Jesus Christ, you will truly be transformed. And I encourage you to desire and hunger for these types of rich encounters in the presence of God. Because it's only in those one-to-one intimate encounters that each of us can get a personal revelation of who God truly is. It's only in those one-to-one intimate encounters that each of us can be empowered and filled with courage. The courage to face the world and stand up for Christ. The courage to stand up to the devil and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength." This is a promise. A promise for us to hold on to in times of weakness. God will give strength to the weary. He will help you to stand when times get tough. He will help you to move forward when it looks like you are about to be overwhelmed. In Exodus 14, verse 14, the Bible says, "The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace." This is a promise for us, a promise of safety. God will fight your battles. He will fight our battles, and we need only to hold our peace. And so there is no need to go back and forth trying to fight here, there, and everywhere. Instead, let God work on your behalf because we have a promise that the battle you face belongs to the Lord. The Bible in Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This is a promise for provision. If you have a need, God can meet that need. This doesn't mean you will have everything you want, but in Jesus Christ, you will have everything that you can ever need. So I encourage you to get to know God's promises. Get to know them and hold on to His promises.
The prophet Isaiah received a revelation that should inspire all of us to recognize God for who He truly is. Listen carefully to what Isaiah 45, verse 2 to 7 says. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting, that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is a wonderful revelation of just who God is. God is firmly in control. God is all-knowing. God is almighty. Isaiah 45, 22 to 23 says, Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. In those moments where we are still before God, we need to realize just how mighty God is, just how powerful God is. The Bible tells us there is no one and nothing that can be compared to God. We need to remember this. Nothing and no one is worthy to be competing for the number one spot of your heart. God should be first.
Have you ever had one of those days where it's just a fight? Where everything is a fight? Your journey to work seems like it's a struggle. You get to work, and it's hostile that day. You go home, and something unexpected happens. You get an unexpected letter or an unexpected bill. Then, next thing you know, there's an unexpected argument with your husband or wife. I mean, have you ever had a day where everything is a struggle? Everything is just a fight. You try to read the word, but that becomes a fight. You try to pray, but that proves to be a fight too. You put some worship music on.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
But you find that you're still fighting. So in this case, what do? Well, I believe that when it appears to be impossible, when life is at its darkest, this is when you should call out to the Lord. David experienced days like this quite often. He must have. Because all throughout the Psalms, there is this theme of calling out to the Lord. I mean, think about it. How many times do we read something along the lines of, In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. Or you might read something like, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Today, dear listener, I want to encourage you to call on the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 12, Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Saints of God, there is a name that holds power. There is a name that chases away demonic spirits. There's a name that brings light in the midst of darkness. And that name is Jesus Christ.
Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." God has promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh in the last days. Now my prayer to the Lord is that I would not be left out of this outpouring promised in the Bible. Our heart's cry is that the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon us. I encourage you to make sure your heart is not hardened to the call of Jesus Christ.
How do you focus on God instead of the obstacles of life? It's a valid question, right? We all have obstacles in this life. We will all come face to face with things that will threaten our faith in the Lord. We'll come up against opposition that may paralyze even the most courageous hearts with fear. But you see, over and over again in the Bible, we're told not to worry. We're told not to fear, not to be dismayed, not to be discouraged, but instead to look to the Lord as your deliverer. Look to the Lord as your rescuer. Look to the Lord as your help and source of strength. The eyes of the Lord are seeking those who are fully committed in Him, those who are fully trusting in Him. And so, dear friend, when you face obstacles in life, don't put your trust in people. Trust in God. Don't rely on people or things. Trust in God Almighty, because He is seeking. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, just looking for the person who is fully committed and confident in Him.
Fear is a liar, because fear leads you to forget all that God has done. One description of fear that I like says, "Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear creates a cloud that makes you think you are alone. It creates a cloud that makes you blind to God's promises and His Word. And one way fear manifests itself in today's society is in the prevalence of anxiety disorders, stress-related diseases, and health conditions. Anxiety and stress are both the children of fear. We fear the future, we fear the past, we fear things we cannot control, and we don't want to admit that most of life is out of our control. We are not in control of when we're born or when we die. We are reminded of our lack of control when faced with an unwanted diagnosis or a natural disaster. This is why Jesus invites us and commands us not to worry. Matthew 6, verse 25 tells us, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus goes on to say in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus is telling us to let go of the illusion that we are the ones in control, because while we are not in control, God is sovereign. He's always in control. While we don't know the future, God is already in the future. While we can't let go of the past, God is already in the past, working out your present and your future. The devil is the father of fear, but God is the master of the future. The devil is the warlock of worry, but Jesus is the prince of peace. The devil is the architect of anxiety, but the Holy Spirit is the conduit of comfort. The Lord tells us in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." As believers, our lives should not be dictated by fear, but rather our faith. Our lives should not be crippled by worry, but rather empowered by encouragement.
You may be feeling tired and weary from the battles you fought, and you may possibly be worried that those same battles will be awaiting you in the morning. But allow me to encourage you. When you feel outnumbered, when your problems look like they are an army marching in your direction, do what blind Bartimaeus did. In Luke 18, verses 37 through 38, the Bible says, "They told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.' He called out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And so, should you find yourself in need of divine intervention, do what this man did and call out to Jesus Christ. When you feel cornered and your back is against the wall, when the enemy looks to have you surrounded, then open your Bible to 2 Kings 6, verses 17 through 18, and draw strength from the fact that when Elisha's servant became fearful because they were surrounded by their enemies, here's what the Bible says about Elisha's response. "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please strike this people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness in accordance to the prayer of Elisha." So I encourage you to pray that God would open your eyes so that you would firstly not be afraid. And secondly, when God opens your eyes and you begin to see the hedge of protection around you, and you begin to see the angels that encamp around you, you can begin to draw strength from that. from the fact that Jesus Christ is on your side. When you feel tired and frustrated, cry out in prayer. Cry out in praise. There is only but one God who can give you rest. Only Jesus can lead you beside still waters. Only Jesus Christ can renew your strength. So don't be discouraged with what you're facing. Don't be disheartened at the events of today. Nor should you be preoccupied and worry about what could come tomorrow. Instead, call unto Jesus Christ today, in this very moment. Whatever situation you face this day, God wants you to call on Him, because His word in Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Psalm 50, verse 15 in the Bible says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And so I want to encourage you. When you look at God's word, when you look at His promises, He says, "Trust me in your times of trouble, and I'll rescue you." He says, "Abide in me, and I will restore you." He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So let your hope be found in God. He has the perfect solution each and every time. So call on Him, whether it's day or night, whether you're in a season of darkness or light.
Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." God has promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh in the last days. Now my prayer to the Lord is that I would not be left out of this outpouring promised in the Bible. Our heart's cry is that the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon us. I encourage you to make sure your heart is not hardened to the call of Jesus Christ. Make sure your schedule is not so busy that you will miss your divine appointment with God in your prayer closet. Blind Bartimaeus refused to let Jesus just pass him by. In Mark chapter 10, verse 47, the Bible says, "When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" We too must have that same attitude. We need to be crying out to the Lord, "Don't pass by without pouring out your Spirit over my life, over my home, over my family. Do not pass me by, O gentle Savior." We should be yearning for Jesus Christ of Nazareth to have mercy on us.
What does the Christian of today look like? And what should the Christian of today look like? These are two very different questions, which can have two very different answers depending on who you ask. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." Listen to this closely. "Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." I believe that this is true Christianity, following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left heaven for earth to die for our sins. He put the church before Himself. He obeyed God's will. He lived a life of purpose, a purpose that can be summed up with His words in Luke 22, verse 42, which says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." When we get to such a place, This is what I believe to be true Christianity. Now, I would like to encourage you to take the following steps so that you can make sure you are marching forward and living a life that pleases the Lord. To begin with, we all need to live lives where God is first. You and I need to live a life that places God above everything. Place God before everything. The Amplified Translation for Luke 9, verse 23 says, "And he was saying to them all, 'If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and, if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me.'" This reminds me of the song that says, "Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down." And to me, this means living a life where you are completely consumed by the Lord's presence, by His Word, by the Holy Spirit. And no, it doesn't mean you neglect your day-to-day responsibilities because you're praying 24/7. No. It simply means that your mind is constantly fixed on Jesus Christ. You're either quietly meditating on a verse as you are making breakfast, or you're worshiping and praising as you are driving. Whatever it is, have the presence of mind to ask yourself, "Am I connected to the Lord? Am I glorifying the Lord?" Now, the phrase, "put God first," has become very popular in this day and age, but in practical terms, what does it mean? Well, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he answered in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." This says to me that your love for Jesus Christ supersedes everything. It's a love that prioritizes the Lord. God first really means God first. Now, another point that I'd like to highlight about a real follower of Jesus Christ is that they fear the Lord. And to fear God isn't to say that you're terrified of Him. No. To fear God is to realize who He is, how big He is, how mighty and all-powerful He is, and this leads you to have a deep respect, reverence, and awe for God's power and authority. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of God is what motivates godly behavior. The fear of God leads one to repent and pursue a holy life. The fear of God keeps you on the straight and narrow. When you fear God, you do not take sin lightly because you know that God is holy and pure, and He does not tolerate unrighteousness and impurity. Further traits of a real follower of Jesus Christ are that they serve wholeheartedly. All they do is to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I encourage you to do all that you can in God's kingdom, but do it to bring glory to Him and not for yourself. Serve for the glory of Jesus Christ. Serve so that unbelievers and those who are lost may see the goodness of God through you. Serve with pure intentions. Serve with godly intentions. A lot of us need to be obedient to Galatians 5, verse 13, which says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." When you serve for the glory of God, this, I believe, is when you are truly imitating Christ. Now, my final point is closely linked to this matter of serving. A true follower of Jesus Christ is humble. And humility doesn't mean you allow yourself to be used and abused. It simply means you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, and you don't think any less of others than you ought to. And to be honest, this is a matter that's all to do with pride. Pride says, I can do this on my own. Pride says, I'm self-made. I am successful, and I did it because I worked hard. Pride says, look at me. Look what I have done. However, humility says, in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Humility says, God will give me strength. God will renew my strength. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see the difference? Pride says, look at me, but humility says, look at Christ. Pride says, look at what I have done, but humility says, look at what the Lord has done. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You find favor in being humble. You find blessings in being humble. So I encourage you to be someone who puts God first. Whether it's day or night, come rain or sunshine, put God first. Be someone who lives with the fear of the Lord in their life. Revere and honor our Lord Jesus Christ always. And finally, be humble. Always be humble in everything you do. Seek to serve others, all for the glory of God.
People of God, I want to ask you something. When was the last time you publicly acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, it may have been to a coworker that you see every day, or to someone you just met and struck up a conversation with. But overall, I believe that every single one of us during the course of our lives, we will have at least one opportunity to publicly declare what we believe and who we believe in. The Bible says in Matthew 10, verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Now, I don't know about you saints, but here's my confession. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. I believe he is the bread of life. He is the one who can sustain us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and in him, you will find peace beyond all human understanding. I believe Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the Good Shepherd. I believe he was a healer and a miracle worker when he walked here on this earth. And I also believe that he is still able to do the impossible, even today. I believe he died on a cross for our sins, for my sins. And I believe that he rose back to life after 3 days and ascended on high. And right now, he is seated on the right side of the Father. Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, there is power. Jesus Christ is the name above every other name. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the risen one, the almighty one. When we speak that name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every sickness has to bow. Every disease has to leave. Every chain has to loose. And so here is my word to you as believers. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never compromise the word of God so that we can fit into this world. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because the devil in the world, they are aggressively spreading a message of deception. The devil in this world is aggressively trying to lead people away from the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's time that we as believers of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stand up and to declare to the world that there is a Savior. There is someone who can set you free if you're bound. There is a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. Saints, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, but as Christians, we must stand up and fight for the gospel. We must rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.